God bless you. Great to be with you this morning, and we're going to be looking at, it's our turn now. We've been looking at God's faithfulness and how faithful He has been in so, so many ways, isn't it? He's 24/7. God's there, right? We've looked at so many wonderful scriptures on His faithfulness. His promises, we can bank on them, right? What He says He's going to do, He will do. So we're very blessed to be His kids as well, right? And to have a Father that talks to us and we can bank on every word that He's going to perform what He says. So in light of that, we can step out with great confidence, can't we? You know, we were up north with our grandkids, and we also saw our boys as well. And we went to the swimming pool, and we were with Tim's kids this particular incident. No hot pots. We're in the big pool. And one of the kids loves when they come up here or come down here to visit us. You know the one thing they always ask for? The hot pot. That's the little jacuzzi. That's what they're talking about. So we were up there at their neck of the roadstead. And Tom, he's the youngest. How old is he? Three? Four. 4 years old. And so he's on the diving board. And he jumps off. But you know, he jumps off and he goes like this, you know, and then we're there. His dad and I are there to help him. But why would he do that? Why would he jump off knowing he can't really swim that well? Why would he do that? He knows his dad is there. Isn't that neat? So that's how we can think of our Heavenly Father like that. I've got a photograph somewhere. I've been looking for it. And my dad was great. I know some folks have not had the opportunity to have good parents or whatever. But my parents were wonderful and loving. And my dad would support me whatever I was doing. And he would come to all the ball games. We played basketball in high school. And there's a photograph taken my last basketball game. We were in we just barely were 18 in our league. We made the playoffs, so we had to play the number one. And they trained us real good. So I worked so hard, I played so hard, I piled out the third quarter. But they had a picture. There's a photograph of me, you know, playing in the middle of the game, and off in the background, you can see up into the stands, and you can see people, and there's one person standing up, my dad. It's a precious picture. But see, he was there for me every time. And that's our Heavenly Father, isn't it? He's there. Let's take a look at a verse. And you don't think God is in the middle of this meeting? What verse did we hear in the manifestation? We heard about He would what? Never leave us nor forsake us. Of all the scriptures in God's Word, God has a manifestation of this one verse that I want to start with. God is here, ladies and gentlemen. Hebrews 13:5. Amazing. So I'm going to read to you the King James, and we're going to look at some of the words a little deeper, a little more specific, and what they mean. So 13:5 in Hebrews, and I trust you got the notes. Okay, good. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Now the word conversation is not just talking one with another, but it means the whole manner of living, your lifestyle. All right, so let your lifestyle, your manner of living, be without covetousness. The word covetousness literally means in the Greek is the love of money. So I bet some of your, if you have different translations in IV or whatever, you might have that in your translation. Okay, I see some nodding heads. Yes. So that's literally what it's talking about. Be without the love of money. And does that not drive everybody today in our world? The love of money. And the love of money is the what? The root of, yeah. So we want to have our manner of life be without that type of love of money attitude, huh? Okay. And then it says be content. The word content means satisfied with your present condition. You know, what is our present condition?
We're sons of God. Christ in us, the hope of glory, the hope of Christ going back at any moment.
Wow. Can we be content with that?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Wow. So this verse really speaks loudly, doesn't it? Let's have our manner of living, our lifestyle, be without the love of money, and be content, be satisfied with your present condition as sons of God. Why? Because he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And in the Greek, that never leave you, never forsake you is a triple negative. There's very few times in God's Word you can find this triple negative used. And what it literally means is, I will never, never, never leave you. Nor never, never, never forsake you. God's making a point here, isn't he? In the Amplified, so I wrote that in your notes, didn't I? Yeah, that latter part, it says in the Amplified, God himself said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless nor forsake you, nor let you down. Isn't that fabulous? What a point that God is making here. Then read the next verse. What's the next verse say? So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Isn't that fantastic? God will never leave us nor forsake us. So we can boldly take on this crazy world we live in, right? Wow. Amen. So we have seen this past month how faithful God is. And I share in our notes here five different ways how God has been faithful. There are many, many more we could look at. But number one, he is faithful in fulfilling his promises. Let's take a look at Hebrews 11. You're already in Hebrews. Let's take a look at that, 11. Chapter 11, verse 11. This is Abraham and Sarah, his wife. Remember the promise that they would have a child. But how many years did it take before that child was manifested? 25 years, something like that, of quite a bit of time. And it says in verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. How did she pull this off? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Faithful who had promised. God promised it. It came to pass, didn't it? But she had to act on it. She had to act on the faithfulness of God during his promises. We do too, right? We see the promise of God, we act on it believingly. God will come through. It says another place in 1 Corinthians, it talks about God is faithful and he will not allow us to suffer or to be tempted above that which we are able to take on. So God is faithful to take care of us. you're not going to be in a situation that is impossible for God to be involved in. I mean, I know sometimes we reach these points in our life that, golly, where's God? What's going on? How am I going to get out of this? God is always there. That's a promise in His Word. No matter how dire your situation is, God is there. Says it on His Word. Number three, another point of His faithfulness, that He keeps our calling secure. If He's called us to do something or to be something, He's going to secure that. He's going to be behind that. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So if He's called you to this fellowship, do you think He's going to kick you out? Can you do anything to get booted out of the family of God? No way. No way. So we are certainly blessed, aren't we, because of God's faithfulness. And if we believe that, and if we hold on to that in our life, we don't have to be fearful. We don't have to worry or have the doubts that hit our hearts sometimes. Because we know God is there. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." And the word keep is not, it's really the word guard you from evil. Evil's going to come along. The devil doesn't like you. He's going to play games with you, okay? But God is going to guard you. If you believe that, then again, any situation that comes up, God is going to be there. He's going to guard you. It's a promise in God's Word. So we bank on His promises. The fifth point is forgiving our sins. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that fantastic? But you know, I did this act in my past that this is the worst thing in the whole world. And I've been thinking about that. I'm holding on to it, and God could never forgive me of that. Is that true?
No.
I don't care what it is, what happened in the past or near past or whatever, now, today, or this morning. You can go to the Heavenly Father and get the forgiveness you need. And will He forgive you?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So.
10 times 7, 100.
Well, that's minimum. We deal with some interesting situations, don't we? In our lives, our manner of living. Yesterday we had a coffee now down in the old town, the train station there. We had another fabulous day praying for people. One guy was a believer, actually, and he was real blessed with what we're doing, and we were talking with him, and he had some questions and stuff. And Paul asked him, "Do you speak in tongues?" I said, "Well, I'm not sure about that. And he shared some verses with him. And so we worked with him, prayed with him, we prayed together, we started speaking in tongues, and you do it. And then there you go, we speak in tongues. So, that's fantastic, isn't it? Because there's two great prayers that we can do. Pray with our understanding, pray in the Spirit. And praying the Spirit is speaking directly to God, right? Doesn't get messed up like the one in our understanding. Sometimes we get a little too dreamy in our understanding prayers and want God to give us Cadillacs and everything else. But I was going to mention barbecue. I've got a Cadillac for a barbecue. He spoils us. God spoils us. So don't think He won't lay something bigger than what you asked for. Really. But, you know, there's two other people I want to
talk about that we've worked with in Agape Now. And we've seen this one person, I think since day one. And it's Michael, okay? Put that on. Not Michael Katz, but this is another guy. And we saw him in day one a couple years ago when we started doing this. He was with his girlfriend or his wife, and they're from Arkansas or something. And finally, he encouraged her to go back home. He was encouraged him to go. And he ministered, prayed for this guy, he tried to help him, but he totally resisted. And today, I'm sad to say, he is like a man of tears. He comes out and he's just totally wacko. He had to tell him to go in the name of Jesus Christ. He was come bothering us and causing a scene. He left. He had to. But it's really sad that the people got to believe. You cannot believe for people. Then there's the sad sin. So, he was there today, yesterday. Jeannie had a beautiful turkey sandwich made for him. So, and so he's looking good. This guy, you never know, he's homeless. Could he? Huh? He came to pick it. I think maybe you saw him, right? And so he's just open, jovial, thankful for what we've done for his life. He goes to church in Old Town there on the Sunday mornings. And he hasn't been home for 25 years. So he was on his heart to go back. His mother? His mother died 2 months ago.
His birthday is Wednesday.
His birthday is this Wednesday. You don't want to be alone. Down the street 7 years. And he said, I need to get to Phoenix. So, he left last night. So, we helped to get a bus ticket to Phoenix. Bob, money man over here. So, isn't that deep? Alright, let me get it together here. And let's take a look at what our response should be to a faithful father. What should our response be to a faithful father? Obey him. Obey him. I know Vicki did a wonderful teaching on that, didn't she? Last week. But we want to obey him. We trust him to the degree that we believe him. We believe him. Hebrews 10:22. It's in your notes. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, of believing, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession, or a little better translation, confession of our faith without wavering. Without wavering, we confess the promises of God, we believe them, we don't waver. Why would we waver if we didn't trust him? But we don't waver because he is faithful. Because he's faithful. And being faithful, persuaded. No, that's the other verse, I'm sorry. Let's hold fast the confession of faith without wavering because he is faithful that promised. Now, Romans 4. Second page, Romans 4. And this is about Abraham. And I gave you the parameters, the verses 18 through 21. The key verses here, he staggered not at the promise of God. This is Abraham. He did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in believing faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. That's our God. We want to get so persuaded in our hearts and minds, in our manner of living, that God will do his work. Whatever he promised, he's going to perform.
That's why, how can we get our mind to do that? What do we need to do to get ourselves to the point that we really believe God's word and the promises of God? What do you think?
Block out everything else.
Block out everything else and concentrate on the Lord. God's word, man. Keep feeding the word. Man can't live by burritos. Can't live on burritos alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We just got to keep feeding ourselves God's word. And when we do that, it just builds our mind, our thinking, and believing to say, yes, I'll believe God's word over whatever else is going on. We believe God explicitly and entirely because He is faithful. Faithful. And we trust our Abba Father. We use that term Abba. It's in the Bible, right? That's that Aramaic. It's that term of endearment, daddy. And again, while we were up visiting our boys and their families, we were in the pool again and playing around. And we heard some kids. They were playing, and their dad was in the pool, and they were calling, Abba, Abba. They were calling out to their father. And I guess they were Jewish or something that I used that. In Hebrew, yeah. So I gotta think they were Jewish kids. But I thought, oh, wasn't that cool? You know, here's these kids calling out for daddy, daddy. They go, Abba, Abba. That was really neat. Well, it's our turn to be faithful. It's our turn to say, God, I am all in. I am yours. You made me your son. I'm your kid. I'm all in. I'm standing for you. I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to do what it takes to be faithful. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to speak in tongues every day. Read the Bible every day. I'm going to go to fellowship as much as I can. I'm going to witness. I'm going to do it. Be faithful. This is our turn to do it. If we don't do it now, we're not going to be doing it when we get gathered together, are we? This is the time and the hour to be faithful to our Heavenly Father. God is faithful totally. It's our turn to be faithful to Him. It says in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, again, just a segment of those verses, as stewards of the mystery, we are found faithful. We are to be found what? Faithful. We steward the mysteries of God. So, I'm just so thankful for all of you. And you faithfully came today. And you do so much. Other people come and do the refreshments and greet people and set up everything. And if I start naming names, I end up calling all your names out. Because you all contribute in some wonderful, loving way. Keep doing it. See what God has called you to do and keep doing it. Doing it. Yes. We recognize our calling in the one body. It says in 2 Timothy 2, talks about commit to faithful men who work will be able to teach others. So we commit to faithful men. There's a list of some great believers in the Bible. And you know what the one main attribute is? Is their faithfulness. Hey, let's do this. Can I have somebody go to 1 Corinthians 4, 17. Todd, if you would. Al, Segovia, Colossians 1, 7. Colossians 4, 7, who? Okay. Becca. And then Colossians 4, 9. Claudia. So these are men that are mentioned, people mentioned in the Bible. There's many others, but these were easy to find. So 1 Corinthians 4, 17, real last, please.
For this cause I have sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you unto the remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church.
Yeah. He's faithful. Timothy is faithful. What's our next one?
Colossians 1:7. And you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ.
Yeah, faithful. Okay, what's our next one? Becca?
My faith shall Titus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord.
Yeah, faithful minister. I had somebody else read that verse because I don't know how to pronounce his name either. Sorry. Tychicus. All right. Sounds good. Claudia, what's the verse you have?
It is Colossians 4:9. We are excellent, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, and shall make known unto you all the things which are done.
Yeah, and this is the faithful brother. That's neat. So, God looks for faithful people. That's what he wants. He wants us just to be faithful. In Matthew, it says in 25, chapter 25, it's in your notes, I think. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Remember the story about different folks had different opportunities and how they functioned. So faithful over few, I'll make you a ruler over many. So God really is for us, isn't he?
Yeah.
Really is. And I'd like to wrap all of this in conclusion that God is faithful in many wonderful ways. He fulfills his promises. He doesn't allow us to be tempted beyond what we can handle. He keeps our calling secure. He guards us from evil. He forgives us of every sin and much, much more. Our response to his great faithfulness to us is that we're faithful to him. We walk trusting him, believing him. We live our lives according to the promises of God, and we're faithful to him as he is to us. Ephesians 2:10 says we are his masterpiece. In Christ Jesus, to do good works as God hath ordained us to walk in them. So we are his masterpieces. We can be faithful masterpieces for him to do what he's called us to do. Our response to be those faithful ambassadors and spreading the word of life, be faithful, do it. And when that final day comes and the trumpet blows and our Lord and Savior comes for us, may we hear him say to us, well done, my good and faithful son. Okay? God bless you.